Hello, my name is Chana Tannenbaum. Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we'll be studying Parshat Vayigash. Our Parsha begins with Yehuda to the Prime Minister of Egypt, pleading for Binyamin to be set free. Yehuda insists on switching places with Binyamin and becoming the prisoner instead. Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, who are shocked by this twist in their story. And Yosef tells them not to worry, this is God's plan, and that everything has turned out okay for him. Both Paro and Yosef then give them many presents. The brothers return to Yaakov, their father, in the land of Canaan, to tell him the news that his beloved son Yosef was still alive. Yaakov gathers the entire family together, and they all travel to Egypt, 70 people. Finally, the family is reunited. They settle in an area called Goshen in Egypt, and the family of Bnei Israel continue to grow and grow. We need to go back a little bit in time. Yosef's brothers had committed a terrible act, and for 22 years they continued living their lives, maturing, marrying, building families. And then the famine strikes. The brothers are sent by Yaakov to Egypt to acquire food for their starving families. There they meet Yosef, whom they do not recognize. Yosef accuses them of being spies and incarcerates them for 3 days. He releases the condition that one brother remain prisoner while they bring gifts. The brothers then whisper to each other in Bereishit 42:21-23. Vayomru ish el achiv, aval ashemim anachnu, al achinu, asher ra'inu tzarat nafsho b'hitchananu elenu, v'lo shamanu. Al kein ba'a elenu hatzara hazot. Surely we deserve to be punished. We are guilty because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen, and that's why this distress has come on us. They do not realize that Yosef could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. As good Jews, when tragedy befalls them, the brothers search their own behavior. They have to go back 22 years to find an act worthy of punishment. The prison reminded them of the pit Yosef was thrown into, and the loss of liberties reminds them of Yosef's slavery. Originally, all were to remain, and one was to return to Canaan for Binyamin. But Yosef changed the plan, and he has one, Shimon, remain behind while 9 leave. This was probably not lost on the brothers either. The last time this happened was Yosef was sold. He was left behind while 9 others went home. According to Shadal, Shlomo David Luzzatto, who died in 1865 in Padua, they are now for the very first time recognizing that they sinned and deserving of punishment. The Shla, Rabbi Yishiyahu HaLevi Horowitz, who died in Sfat in 1628, adds that a good confession not only mentions that one sinned, but includes the details, as the brothers list their sin as watching Yosef's anguish, listening to his entreaties, and failing to respond. The brothers are also gripped with feelings of anguish and mourning, and the first word, aval, could also be read as avel, mourning. They realize that they are being punished, midah keneged midah, measure for measure. Notice, though, that they are not sorry for the sale, which they still feel was justified, as Malbim, Rav Meir Leibish Wisser, who died in Kiev in 1879, points out. They are sorry for the cruelty and insensitivity. They should have been kinder and given Yosef a second chance, but they are not sorry that they sold him. In chapter 42:21, we have the very first stage of repentance. They admit that they are wrong. There is a certain amount of remorse and confession. On the way home, they open their knapsacks, and they discover that the money has been returned. And as they say in 42:28, Ma zot asa Elokim lanu? What is this that God has done to us? Presumably, the last time the brothers had ill-gotten money in their hands was as a result of the sale of Yosef. The money they received was surely perceived as blood money. Now, years later, seeing this money in their bags, knowing that it was not rightfully theirs, must have dredged up the same sinking feeling, recognizing God's hand in their distress. Time goes by, and the brothers are forced to return to Egypt to refill supplies. There, Yosef has them sit down to eat, seating them in their birth order, which amazes the brothers, Bereshit 43:32-33. Also, Yosef showers Binyamin with 5 times as many gifts as the others. What was Yosef thinking? Here, neither the dreams nor revenge could explain this behavior. All the brothers, including Binyamin, had bowed to Yosef prior to this meal, fulfilling the first dream. And what could Yosef hope to accomplish by having them break bread at this point? Apparently, he wants them to relive the horrific meal that they ate when Yosef's screams could be heard in the background. And then Yosef sends them on their way. And he has his silver cup planted in Binyamin's sack. This incriminating evidence is found, and the brothers are brought back to Egypt. They are told that Binyamin must stay as a slave. Yosef's careful orchestration is calculated to place Binyamin in the same exact situation that he himself had experienced so long ago. Like Yosef, Binyamin is now his father's favorite and the only tangible memory of Yosef that remains. At the end of last week's parsha, Yehuda says, "Vayomer Yehuda, Ma nomar ladoni, ma nitaber uma nistadak, ha'elohim matza et avon avdecha, hinenu avadim la'adoni gam anachnu, gam asher nimtza ha'gviya biyado." Bereshit 44:16. "What can we say to my Lord?" Yehuda replies. "What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves, and the one who was found to have the cup." This is the second stage of repentance. They confess, but they do more. They admit collective responsibility, and this is important. When the brothers sold Yosef into slavery, it was Yehuda who had proposed the crime in Bereshit 37:26-27, but they were all there, complicit in this. And finally, at the climax of the story, Yehuda says in Parshat Vayigash, "Va'ata, yashev na avdecha tachat ha'na'ar, eved ladoni, v'ha'na'ar ya'el el imechav." Bereshit 42:33. "So now let me remain as your slave in place of the lad. Let the lad go back with his brothers." Yehuda, who had sold Yosef as a slave, is now willing to become a slave so that his brother Binyamin can go free. This is what the sages and Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, who died in 1204 in Egypt, says in Hilchot Tshuva Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph 2:1. This defines a complete repentance, namely, when circumstances repeat themselves and you have the opportunity to commit the same crime again, but you refrain from doing so because you have changed. Another form of repentance, which is required by the early mystics, foremost, Rabbi Eliezer of Worms, author of the Sefer Rokeach, who died in 1238 in Worms, is that the penance must counterbalance the crime. Yehuda, in a torn garment, as a permanent slave in Egypt, is the exact position that he had placed Yosef. And Yehuda says in 44:31-32, "V'haya, kir'ot ki ein hana'ar v'meit, v'horidu avdecha et tzevat avadecha avinu biyagon sha'ola." When he, Yaakov, sees that the boy is not with us, he will die, and your servants will send the white head of your servant, our father, down to Sha'ol in grief. "Ki avdecha arav et hana'ar me'im avi lemar, im lo a'ivenu elecha v'chatati la'avi kol hayamim." Now your servant has pledged himself for the boy to my father, saying, "If I do not bring him back to you, I shall stand guilty before my father forever." How striking is this passage, for it without doubt demonstrates that the brothers have finally changed their ways. This time, the brothers act in defense of their youngest sibling, even though he is their father's favorite. This time they cannot bear the thought of seeing their father in mourning, even though they had, for the last 22 years, borne it well. Finally, now, certain of his brother's remorse and contrition, Yosef reveals his true identity. Had he done so at the moment of their initial meetings, the brothers would never have come to the state of true tshuva that characterizes their reconciliation now. The story of Yosef's brothers makes it clear that true tshuva, true repentance, although sometimes precipitated by external events, must nevertheless come from within. Yosef could have secured his brother's impassioned pleas for forgiveness much earlier in the narrative had he revealed himself immediately. But that repentance would have constituted nothing more than a startled response predicated on shock and fear, rather than a measured and considered act of real return. Yosef acted not for himself, but for his brother's sake. Yehuda's actions can also be seen as a tikkun for the murder of Hevel. When God says to Cain, "Where is your brother?" Cain answered, "Do I know? Am I my brother's keeper?" And here Yehuda is saying, yes, indeed, he is his brother's keeper, and he is responsible for him and his well-being. For Yehuda, protecting Binyamin at all costs is the atonement demanded for the selling of Yosef. Yehuda is the brother who undergoes the largest transformation here, from sinner to Baal Tshuva. It could very well be that it was the encounter with Tamar, where she allows him to rise to the situation and remark, "Tzadka mimeni, he is more righteous than me," Breishit 38:26. That is what allows him to reach these new heights and therefore become the ancestors of all of Israel's kings. And as Rabbi Sachs, who died in London in 2020, writes, "We are called Jews because we are Yehudim, because we are named after Yehuda. Why? Because he was forgiven. And why was he forgiven? Because he owned up. He said, Aval Ashemim Anachnu. What's more, he changed from the person who sold his brother as a slave. He became the person who was willing to spend the rest of his life as a slave so his brother Binyamin could go free. He became a Baal Tshuva. Yosef, his brother, forgave him. God forgave him. And it is his name we bear. Judaism is a faith that wishes to inform us about man. It proclaims idealistically but realistically that most men will not be Moshe, but they can be Yehuda. It asserts critically but optimistically that mankind is not inherently good, but is capable of goodness. It is a faith whose namesake is not perfect, and therefore he is an inspiration to all of us. Yehuda was not Avraham, the knight of faith. He was not Moshe who spoke face to face with God. He was instead a man who struggled, faltered, and failed. He repented and improved and overcame. Then this is our aspiration, not perfection, but the moral life well lived. This is our ideal, to be like Yehuda, to be a Yehudi, a Jew. And to sum up, the Arba Binel, who died in 1508 in Venice, says, Yosef decided to put his brothers to the test as to whether over the past 22 years that they had been parted, that they had changed their attitude and character. He sought to know whether they regretted their action towards him. Thus, he accused them of espionage until he witnessed their repentance. While this might be a convenient answer, it raises a more difficult problem. By what right does Yosef have to keep his father suffering and intensify his anguish by keeping Shimon and then making him separate from Binyamin? And as the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, who died in 1270 in Akko in 42:9, asks, how is it that Yosef, after living many years in Egypt, having attained a high and influential position in the house of an important Egyptian official, does not send his father even one message to inform him that he was alive and comfort him? Egypt is only a six-day journey from Hebron, and respect for his father would have justified even a year's journey. It would have been a grave sin to torment his father by leaving him in mourning and bereavement for himself and for Shimon. Even if he wanted to hurt his brothers a little, how could he not feel pity for his aged father? According to both Rav Yoel Ben Nun, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in the Gush, and Rabbi Sacks, Yosef thought that perhaps he had become the rejected son. Just as Yishmael had been sent away and Esav had been sent away from his father's home, Yosef too had been sent by his father out to check on his brothers who hated him. And then nobody had come looking for him all those years. Yosef does not contact his father because Yosef believes that his father no longer wanted contact with him. He even names his son Menashe in 41:51, saying, God has made me forget all my labor and my father's house. Yosef's entire world is built on the misconception that his father has renounced him, while Yaakov's world is destroyed by the misconception that Yosef is dead. Yosef's plan was to have them bring down Binyamin in order to rescue him, keep him in Egypt with him. But when Yehuda says in verse 44:28, Vayetze ha'achad me'iti vayomer, ach taraf tarof, v'lo'i itiv ad hena, but one has gone from me, and I said, alas, he was torn by a beast. I have not seen him since. Inadvertently, Yehuda busts Yosef's bubble by informing Yosef that the whole time Yaakov assumed that Yosef was dead, and that's why he does not come looking. Yosef understands then that indeed Yaakov still loved him. Rev Maidan, another Rosh Yeshiva in the Gush, rejects this answer, in that Yosef knows that he was the favorite son. How could he possibly suddenly become the rejected one? But Yosef was motivated by the fear for the welfare of Binyamin. How had he been treated all these years? Do the brothers hate him as well? The Ramban in 42:9 says that Yosef was afraid that the brothers hated Binyamin or were jealous of their father's love for him as they had been jealous of Yosef. Perhaps Binyamin had realized that they had harmed Yosef and this had led to acrimony between them. Rav Maidan suggests that when Yosef asks the brothers to bring Binyamin, he assumed that they would never bring Binyamin down. Yosef expected the brothers to return empty-handed. And thus, when Yosef sees Binyamin, he was disappointed, and it became clear to him that they had brought Binyamin down in order to redeem Shimon, despite the danger to their youngest brother. And it's only when Yehuda, in this week's Parsha, gives his whole speech and explains that he had become Yosef's guarantor, only then does Yosef understand that indeed the brothers have repented. So then, when Yosef confronts his brothers and he says, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avi Chai, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? 45:3, the brothers are shocked. Yosef has many years to rehearse these words. The Torah does not reveal to us the tone that Yosef used. Is it sad? Is it full of remorse? Is he solemn? Is Yosef asking, is my father alive after what you did to him? Or after what I did to him? The Talmud and the Midrash understand his words as incredible chastisement. The Midrash Rabbah in Bereishit 93:11 says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, woe to us in the day of judgment, and woe to us on the day of rebuke. Yosef was but mere flesh and blood, and yet he rebuked his brothers. They could not withstand his rebuke. How much less then will man of flesh and blood be able to withstand the rebuke of the Holy One, blessed be He, who is the judge and prosecutor, who sits on the throne of judgment and judges every single person? The brothers were rendered speechless. Their inconsistency had been hurled back at them, their iniquity placed directly in front of their eyes. There was no place to hide. There was only complete humiliation. But then Yosef tells the brothers not to be upset, since this was God's desire. 45:5. Al ta'atzvu va'al yechar be'enechem, ki machartem oti hena, ki lemichya shalachani elokim lefnechem. And now, do not be distressed or reproach yourselves because you have sold me hither. It was to save life that God has sent me ahead of you. Each of our players in our scene has a plan and pursued that plan. But the plan which finally is revealed was a higher plan, geared to bringing Yaakov's family to Egypt and creating the Jewish people. Thank you for studying with me, Parshat Vayigash. And now for the thought question. It appears that what we described here are the stages of tshuva between man and God. As the Rambam explained, sins between man and man, one must beg the one harmed for forgiveness. Do we see the brothers making amends also between man and not only with regards to God?